Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Ransom Notes. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Catherine Ransom is our host each and every week. Proud to be her co-host, and she's the author of Ransom Notes, wonderful book, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. Catherine Ransom, how are you?
I am just fine, thank you, Frank, although I have to admit today I had a phone call that made me just, it's making me a bit nervous. It actually started Friday. I received a call from my heart surgeon. As you know, on June 30th, I had open heart surgery, for people who maybe are just tuning in.
Yes.
We thought it was coming along really, really well. They called to say that the pint of blood that I received during the surgery, perhaps the donor has hepatitis.
Oh, my God.
And they wanted to check. So I had a blood test on Friday. They called me today and said that, indeed, I do have signs of hepatitis. Come back for a second test. And I had that this morning with no results. So this is a good way for a Christian to continue to have faith and know that the Lord will take care of you, even when you have some worries that come into your mind. And I know I shouldn't worry about it, Frank, and it'll all work out. And I think there are ways to take care of hepatitis C. But, you know, I'm a human, and I get scared just a bit. Do you ever get scared?
Yeah, I do. And I get worried is what I do. And I've got to hand it to you. Just in getting to know you over these last few months, you're so positive. Most people would be freaked out. Say, hepatitis. How can they say hepatitis? You know, I mean, you're taking this, like a woman of faith. You know, you know at this moment it's not in your hands. It's in God's hands, and you're going to keep your mind positive, and you're gonna do what you can. You're going to trust your doctors to do the right thing. But yes, I mean, if scared is the same thing as worried, I do, and I'm working on it. I'm working on not being so worrisome, not being such a worrywart. And
you know,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the only reason I shared that sort of personal story is that two things. One, a friend of mine, because usually I share silly things and funny experiences that have happened, and a friend wrote a week ago, said, are you certain you don't carry a sign around inviting weird and exciting things to happen to you? And I do have funny things happen to
right.
me and weird things. But, and then I thought, but you know, that sign also says that sort of discouraging kinds of things that happen. And the only reason for sharing it, and this is the second point, is sometimes you can leave a person who's really positive, and I try to be that, can leave the impression that nothing ever worries you, or nothing that's ever just a tiny bit worrisome ever happens to you, that you have a bubble around you, and that your health is perfect and your life is perfect and everything is perfect. I think maybe sometimes bubble people, and I do have a protective bubble around me, that's the Lord. But I think sometimes everyday Christians need to know that others everyday Christians have a few challenges and occasionally worry, and then they balance it with trust and faith, and they find things to make the day joyful. Which leads me in. Do you know what special day today is on the 11th of January?
I do, but I'm not going to spoil, because I read my ransom notes, which everyone should be signing up for. But I'm going to let you tell everybody, because it's obscure, and I guarantee you most people aren't going to be able to guess it.
Well, I'm sitting in church yesterday, because for the first time for quite a while, we were back in a service in the building, separated, reduced number, all of that. And the minister starts the sermon, and he said, tomorrow, because that was yesterday, tomorrow, which is today, step into a puddle, he challenged us, and splash a friend day. So I thought, oh, isn't that wonderful? And can't you just remember either seeing grandchildren or little kids, and that puddle comes along, and I don't know, but I've seen kids who will dance around the sidewalk trying to find the next puddle in which to hop and splash. But he reminded us that we should only splash others if they're our friend. Otherwise, we might make an enemy at our age.
Yeah, and, you certainly could make make an enemy by doing that. And if you said, no, look, I'll show you. I'll show you online. It means they would look at you like you're crazy. Don't go splashing me. What are you? You know, you get into a fight. Get into a fight, splashing. So it's got to be a friend. Okay, you got to splash a friend.
So then that leads you to the next place. And apparently this special day started in 1998. So it's not a real old national day. But I looked it up. I Googled it up when I got home. And it is literally one of the days that's on the calendar. those special days. And then as I did some more research and I studied about it, there's really two ways that people can celebrate this Splash a Friend Day. And as a little kid, or maybe if you're in Florida or Hawaii or someplace in January, you could splash literally somebody, but most adults are not going to do it literally. Most adults, and he then shared a verse from John 7:38, and I'm going to read it because this is what we as Christians have to do, and it's really, he's a Greek scholar.
Yeah.
So the verse is, this is Jesus speaking. You've heard of Jesus, I assume.
Yes, I have.
Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, which is understandable. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And the Greek translation of flow, what do you suppose it is? Splash.
No kidding.
So if you read that, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will splash from within them. So we have, Frank, we've got a job.
Yeah.
We have to take and splash God's love out on our friends, and then I suppose gently on our enemies, as opposed to the little kid who's hopping in the pond. And share, and I kept thinking, how in the world do we figuratively splash friends with the living water of God?
Mm.
And that's sort of our mental challenge. And it can be a mischievous kind, but I think and that would be what you could just do, you know, sort of like a trick you'd play on somebody. But as a Christian, I think it's that you try to do something nice, that you try to show love, that you try to show, well, I am happy. And you've commented sometimes that I appear to be a happy person, and I really basically am,
yeah.
Except when I've heard that I have, you know, something bad. And so I think we've just got to figure out how do we, and I think it ties into today's environment, that we need to help replace anger. And some of us watch anger about one another this weekend when we saw what appeared on the TVs from our national capital. Regardless of what we think, as a Christian, we've got to splash love. Somehow we've got to share joy. We have to help people understand each other and be kind to each other. And that's how I can believe something that's different from you. But I don't have to get angry with you. You know, I think, but how do we as Christians really demonstrate that we are splashing God's love? And I love that word, splashing, because it has all that fun in the word. You know, yeah. That's, you know, I just see a little kid hopping in a puddle. And there's the water all going all over.
You splash at the beach. You splash in the pool. Usually, it's a playful thing. Splash is a nice word, right? You don't usually, oh, I got splashed. Maybe it's a little inconvenient, or it's splashed all over. You know, splash is not a heavy word. You know, it's not. Splash doesn't usually indicate, you know, death or dying or hospitalization. It considers, it indicates inconvenience, if at all, you know, and then fun on the positive side, right? Well, I mean, splash is usually fun or it's enjoyable, but you're right.
So I was thinking yesterday and last night, what could be my splash experience today? And I have a friend who is not very well at all, but he's a cat lover. And I think one time he had as many as 12 cats in his house.
Wow.
And he adores his cats. And recently he's had 3 of them die. But just this past week, his very, very favorite one. And I had suggested to him by email that perhaps his wife take a picture of this very favorite cat, and then he get a copy of it, and he could put that by his bedside, because he's in bed most of the time. He could put it by his bed, and he could pretend or have a sense that his cat was still with him. Well, last night, he emailed me a picture. And I thought, what could I do? How could I bring joy to John's life? And I thought, I can take that copy, take it over to Walgreens, and I will be able to have them make me a 5x8 photo, which I will try to find some simple frame, and I will take it out to him, and he lives about 20 miles away, and deliver it. Now, I think that might be a silly example of splashing love to help somebody. And so I guess the only reason for sharing my example is I don't want our listeners to sit and think, oh, my glory, I've got to be really serious. What in the world can I do? Who do I know? What's it going to cost me to do something nice? You know, it's just reach out and touch somebody. And John is going to know that that's the love of the Lord, that I share that with him.
Yeah, that's a tremendous sign of love. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Because you see, being a Christian, John, Frank, pardon me, being a Christian, it should be fun. It shouldn't be a burden. Oh, my glory, I got to go to church. Oh, my goodness, I've got to be nice. Oh, I can't swear at anybody anymore. It's a burden. Instead, we need to think of it, oh, whoopee, I can splash people with love.
You said that's a silly thing to do. I don't think that's silly. I think that's beautiful that you did that. I mean, silly is, I don't know what silly would be, but I know what you meant. It lighthearted, you know, it's a lighthearted thing. But silly to me is that, boy, that doesn't fall under the category of silly at all to me. And again, Catherine Ransom is our host, Frank McKay here, proud to be her co-host of Ransom Notes each and every week. Just wonderful. You know, every time I speak to you, and I say this all the time, I sound like a broken record, which any younger viewers are going to be like, what's a broken record? What does it mean, a broken record? You know? Right? That's something we don't hear about anymore. But the truth of the matter is that dialogue that you just said there, I don't think there's anything silly about it. I think it was filled with love. I think it was lighthearted. That's wonderful. Just wonderful. It's just like, when we define questions, and you were talking a little bit off mic about that, right? That was kind of the next subject. When you talk to somebody, when you ask questions, we have different interpretations of what an answer could be or what would be a positive answer. But expand on that if you don't mind. We were talking off mic, and I thought it was very interesting what you were asking.
Well, I'm sort of curious. I know you've been an interviewer for a long time, because the lead into something else I want to talk about, that have you had a memorable, great interview conversation with somebody, and or what makes one, what happens when you have a really tough one? What makes a really tough conversation? Because I want us to talk a bit about prayer, because I think that's one way we splash each other as we use that in a loving, godlike John reference that we read earlier. So have you ever really had just that interview that you just love, wow, that was so great? Or by the contrast, oh my glory, how am I getting out of this one? What am I going to do? How am I going to, I don't know. Have you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had almost 5,000 interviews. and some of the most famous people, presidents and heads of state, actors, Academy Award winners, and you know, all types of folks. And sometimes you just assume that people are experienced at being interviewed, and sometimes you're terribly disappointed. A bad interview for me is when people give you short answers. I was and I won't, you know, I don't want to disparage this, but a very famous singer, I was excited about interviewing her, and it was for TV, and I basically started out, you know, by, you know, tell us a little bit about something on your background. You know, where were you born? Where you were? I don't know. Remember if that was the question, but she said Detroit or whatever, wherever she was, Detroit, Michigan, and it was like okay, well, what was, you know, like I thought she would expand on it. I thought now a good interview to me is when it just flows and new information comes out. Like you, I've interviewed you. I mean, here we're dialoguing, and this is different. But when I've interviewed you in the past, I just. Gold comes out of you. You don't even realize it. You're so humble, but gold comes out of you, and you could just be asked the simplest question, and just something beautiful comes out. You know, we have an expression that you could, and I'm not applying this to you, but this is another like easy type interview. If you ask somebody what time it is, they'll tell you how to make a watch, and you know that. Is a type of personality where, I mean, you'd rather that than the one word answers or the two word answers. But you are a great example of what's a wonderful interview, because you ask, I could ask you something about something so mundane, and you will pull something beautiful out of it, and an example of how it's it may affect your life or how it applies to the Lord. So I don't know if that is that what you're expecting from me. You know,
that's fine, because I wanted to lead into prayer that we really need to have these conversations with God. That as we share joy, as we splash each other with love, part of that happens through talk. And so, and I have to admit, during the sermon Sunday, I was listening, but I also, my other half of my brain was jotting down. What makes a good conversation? What are the elements of this sharing that makes somebody happy or makes somebody relieved or so that it's not one way, one word dialogue? And so I listed a few things. For example, I think to have a really good, and we're going to talk about it generically, and then I'll reply it to the Lord in prayer, that if I have a conversation that's really good, it needs to be a topic that's of mutual interest to some degree. If you wanted to talk about the mechanics of radio, making it work and all of the technology part, I would politely listen, but we wouldn't have a conversation because I know zip. And frankly, the mechanical part of running the radio, it's not the part that I'm interested in. So number one, and we need to have common interest. It needs to be two-way. And you talked about the interview you had with the woman, that it was one word on one side, and then you're frantically trying to make a conversation on the other side. I think in a good conversation, you have to have somebody who really listens. I think you listen to me, and I think I listen to you, because then that helps us respond in a way that I shouldn't be daydreaming somewhere else if I'm having a meaningful conversation. I'll keep thinking. We're going to apply this in a minute to our prayer life, that it needs to be peaceful interaction. We had this sort of brief discussion of how maybe of the definition of silly, but we weren't antagonistic. And that if it's a sensible discussion, it helps each of our minds wake up. And that's what we want to have in a great conversation. It needs to be, and then to really be a good conversation with me, for me, I think I need to learn something. It needs to stretch me a bit to help me think in a new direction, not just the same old babble over and over. And then for it to really happen, a really deep conversation, I don't mean just, oh, hi, how are you today kind of thing, but, you know, a real, meaningful, a real conversation. I think often it needs to be sort of a quiet spot where there's not, where it, there may be music in the background or there may be people around, but basically it's pretty calm and there are not lots of interruptions unless it's an emergency kind of thing. So I took those elements, and I'm sure there's other, you know, people that have studied conversation for years, I'm sure have other elements, but how do we apply those? So let's pretend that we want to have a really good conversation with the Lord. It says we need to talk to him. He listens to us. Okay, I know how to talk to him. But if I'm having a conversation, I got to hear back from the Lord. And that's obviously done through reading his word. So how much are we reading? Where should we read? And that leads me to the third point, which will then try to illustrate some of these. We got the challenge Sunday to read this week the book of Ephesians. There's six chapters in it. So we're supposed to read chapter one on Monday, chapter two on Tuesday, you know, and Sunday we get the day off. And then I decided, as I'm encouraging some of my readers that I write to each week, that I'm going to send them a message that as you read the first chapter, because that's God talking to you, if I'm going to have a conversation, what do I have to do? I have to either comment back to him or make some notes so that I listen to him, turn my brain on, and respond. So my challenge is, get your notepad out. Read Ephesians 1 today. Make a couple of comments about what you read. And Ephesians has some lovely stuff in it. In Ephesians, the first chapter, it talks about the riches of God's glory and of his love. I'm going to comment about that. But we were also challenged, don't read it on your phone. And now think of our rules of conversation. Mm-hmm. Why might I not read it on the Bible on my phone as opposed to reading it in my hard text?
It could be distractive, right? You can get a phone call.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right. And I hadn't really thought about it that way because I do sometimes take the phone to church rather than carrying a Bible. And, you know, and I open it up, you know, I can turn to the scripture and I've got the same. But I hadn't thought about the fact that it is a distraction because news announcements flash up on my screen automatically, just like there's one now that I have a notification that's because I'm talking on my phone right now, that takes you away from what he's talking about. It's got to be, God, I don't quite understand this. And so then you read the next verse and he talks back at you, or you reread, or somebody says, but you might also read in another passage. I have to listen to what the word is saying. Have you ever listened to someone reading the Bible and suddenly realize your brain isn't with it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You're on a detour.
Right.
And that's not a good conversation. So I guess my point today, and I've probably gone on too far, is that I'm going to splash people with love and joy and kindness, not literally with water, unless it's a really good friend and I take a glass of water and throw it at them. And then I'm going to include this splashing of the word, which John said is what God does. He'll splash us with love, and I'm going to have that conversation with him. That's my big thought for this early part of January.
Well, that's a big thought, and it's wonderful. Like I said, every time I speak to you, my mind gets going. It's always a great conversation when I speak with you, and I can't wait till your documentary is out, and hopefully in February we'll be able to tell people where to see you in a documentary, and they could visualize it better and coming from you. And honestly, everything that you do is just great. By the way, something just creeped into my mind as you were speaking. And you referenced back to my one-word answers with this particular celebrity singer. And maybe it doesn't apply, but I think it was Will Rogers upon meeting Calvin Coolidge, and they called him Quiet Cal, or was it Silent Cal? I think the former president, and they were meeting, and Will Rogers said, "My friend bet me that I couldn't get you to say three words," and the president turned to him and said, "You lose." And I would think that is a good place to underline what the what the difficult interviews are. Catherine, wonderful. Let me remind folks once again that Frank McKay here. I am co-hosting always for Catherine Ransom, and her book is named Ransom Notes: Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. Wonderful book. It is a must get for everyone. Also, binge listen to Ransom Notes. Everything that you haven't heard here or haven't seen, we're on 106 different outlets or more by now. And you can go to radio.com, iHeartRadio.com, SoundCloud, RadioUK.com, and Spotify, any number of places that wherever you listen, it's great. Just please binge listen to everything that we've done. And you really can't, you don't have to go in any particular order. Just listen to them all. Catherine, any last thoughts?
Just let's make this a splashing week with, as we share the book of Ephesians with each other, and compliment the Lord for no more lives were lost last weekend, that somehow through all of this, my prayer is that peace and understanding and graciousness may return to our country.
Amen. Amen. And Catherine, thank you very much each and every week for sharing with all of us. And thank you for taking the time to write Ransom Notes, not just the book, but the weekly. It's always wonderful. And thank you very much. Stay safe. And yes, let's thank God that we didn't lose more lives, and it could have been much, much worse. And we hope for a much more peaceful week to come. But Frank McKay signing off. Once again, moments of reflection, courage, engagement, worship, and humor. That's the subtext, but Ransom Notes is the name of the book. Please buy the book and binge listen to everything we've been doing. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Ransom Notes.